James chapter 3. Certainly thankful to see each one tonight. Certainly glad to have this number. And we've got some out that are sick, not able to be here. Just be much in prayer for them. Along with me, you pray for me. I want to be a blessing tonight. James chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, that the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. We'll cease reading here with verse 11. Tonight what I want to do is begin a study on our words. Now, you may think, well, Brother Brad, if you want to start a Bible study on Wednesday night, you picked a good subject. whenever you hear the tongue, we all get a little bit nervous about that because we're all probably guilty to some degree with our tongue. But I want to look more than just the negative side. So many times we hear the tongue and we look at the negative side of that. Even in this passage, James is describing a man that would be two-faced, a man that would speak one thing and speak another thing, a man that would speak bitter and he would speak sweet, a man that would praise God and then curse man, which is made after the similitude of God. And so you see the negative there. But I want us to look at our words. You know, God give us the ability to communicate with words. And that's something that He didn't give the animals. He didn't give any other thing except for us. We have the ability to communicate with one another. And our words are probably, they probably have an effect on others more than anything else. I know you say, well, your actions, and certainly our actions can say one thing and our words can say another. But we're constantly in communication with others around us. Everywhere that we go, we're speaking to other people. And so the Lord said, that our tongue get us in trouble. Our tongue can do a lot of damage. And, so many times people say, well, you can't hurt someone with words. And, yes, you can. Words can do a lot more damage than sticks and stones will do many times. And it can hurt people in ways that a stick or a stone couldn't hurt them. And it can be a hindrance to others. And so, one of the most misunderstood verses probably in the Bible is verse 8. Whenever we look at verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poisons. The tongue can no man tame. The Lord says nobody can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. And so, it's often, I guess, assumed that the tongue just cannot be controlled. And so, Brother Allison, we use the excuse, well, I know I talk, or I know I gossip, or I know I say things I shouldn't say, but that's just who I am. And we kind of make ourselves this loophole, and then we use the excuse, well, nobody can really control the tongue anyway. And so, I'm let off the hook there. None of us are let off the hook if we're a child of God. No man. It's not in man's power. First of all, let's establish that. It's not in man's power or in man's nature to control his tongue. We want to say what we want to say. We want to give somebody a piece of our mind. We want to say what we're thinking many times. So we have that excuse. Well, that's just who I am. It's not in man's power or his nature to control his tongue. But I want to remind us, Matthew 19, Jesus is speaking to a rich man there. Let me rephrase that. He's speaking about a rich man. And he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Brother Jake, that's impossible. I've heard people try to explain the needle and the eye, and it's talking about a gate, and it's hard for a camel to get down on his knees to go through a gate, and that gate's called the eye of the needle. I'm going to take the Bible at face value. He's talking about a camel. He's talking about a needle. He said it'd be easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than it would for a rich man. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Therefore, a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so, the disciples, they just were kind of in awe. They said, my goodness. Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so when we look at the tongue, we say, well, nobody can tame the tongue. And so I'm off the hook. I can pretty much say what I want to say because nobody really going to control the tongue anyway. God can. God can help us. So let's look back at verse 1 and verse 2 again. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So the Lord is setting us up here and saying, listen, that it is possible, and we need to understand it's not humanly possible, but it is godly possible that we can come to a place as a mature child of God that we no longer offend in word. That we're not offending someone with the communication that we would have. We're not offending someone by words that would be sharp towards someone. We're no longer offending someone with words that are carnal. He said, be not many masters. Man has a desire to always have the last word. It's always in man's heart that he knows best. And so he's saying here, you don't always have to think you're a teacher. You don't always have to get the last word. You don't always have to try to be the instructor, try to put somebody in their place. You know, that is certainly, I think, a downfall of many people and even a lot of good church people that's got in their heart to try to be a blessing to someone and yet feel like that I need to just go put this person in their place. I'm going to tell you something. That can be offensive. Even if you got good intentions, that you go to someone and you feel like, well, I've got good intentions, but wait a minute. Is the Spirit leading you? Because if God's Spirit's not leading you, then what you may think is with good intent, it may have an offensive nature to it. It may be offensive to that person. You know God sets up people to receive the Word. God sets up people to receive the Word. There's some times whenever you can offend somebody with God's Word. We're gonna look at that a little bit deeper, but just hold on to that. In verse 2, he goes on, he says, for in many things we offend all. Any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. I want us to consider that word tonight. As we begin this study, I want us to first start with that one word, offense, as it pertains to our words. God has much to say about our words. You know, we can't tame our tongue. But submission to His Word can. Now, what does the Lord mean by offense? Don't be offensive with your words. What is He telling us? He said, well, preacher, we should make sure that we never hurt anybody's feelings with our words. I think that's what the Lord's saying there. You know, that's kind of been my general belief, Brother Freddie, down through the years, is Lord, He wants me to make sure that I speak in a way I don't hurt somebody's feelings. And the more I study, the more I realize that's not what the Lord is saying at all here. Certainly we shouldn't go around wanting to hurt someone's feelings, and we should use tact as much as possible when we're speaking to others. But offense has a more potent meaning than simply hurting somebody's feelings. Look at 1 Peter. Just turn over a page or two. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at His word, or at the word, being disobedient. That's key there, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. You know, God's Word itself will offend those who are disobedient. In other words, there's going to be times whenever you hurt someone's feelings, maybe, and it be with the Word of God. And the Lord wants my words, it's not simply, Miss Penny, about hurting someone's feelings. It's about being a hindrance. When you think of being an offense, the Lord said, you don't want to hinder somebody. The Lord does not want us to hinder someone with our words. Remember, we're looking at a spiritual matter here. The Lord does not want us to be a hindrance to someone. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. But Mike, you think that hurt Peter's feelings? I'm going to assume, you can assume what you want to, but I assume it did. That had to hurt. Get thee behind me, Satan. But do you think it hindered him? I don't think it hindered him at all. I think it made him a better person. The Lord didn't hinder Peter. The Lord was instructing Peter with his words. The Lord was pointing out something to Peter that Peter could not see in himself. Peter saw himself one way. Jesus saw him a different way. And the Lord wanted him to see that. Later on, as Jesus began to be whipped and tortured there in the great hall, that Peter was warming himself by the fire. And he had already said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you all the way to death. I'm ready to go with you. I'm not going to deny you. But he did. And the Lord looked at him. And Brother Alton Peter looked at him. And their eyes connected. And all of a sudden now Peter saw himself through Jesus' eyes. And he understood that what the Lord was saying was true. He understood, but it took a very firm rebuke. A very firm rebuke for him to really come to his senses there. Now, Proverbs 15 verse 10 says, correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Correction is grievous unto someone that forsakes the Lord's way. And they are those that are going to hate reproof. And so as we consider offense, I don't want to branch off too far. That's one reason. So, Brother Brad, you don't hardly ever do many Bible studies. My mind goes a million different directions and I start branching off, and I want you to be able to understand and comprehend what I'm trying to teach. So let me try to rein everything back in. As we consider offense or we consider a hindrance, we first must understand that some will hate. Some will have their feelings hurt, but God's word never returns to him void. And so how do I assure that I have not offended in word? We are commanded to share the truth. And it says here, Brother Buddy, that even the word, that those that are not, that they don't consider God's word to be precious, that even the word is going to offend them. And so, what do? The Lord said I had to go tell somebody the truth. It's my job. It's my calling. It's my vocation to share the truth. To go and use my words to be a blessing to someone else. So look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Lord said I had to go and speak the truth, preach the truth. He says that there's going to be times whenever even the word might offend someone. So what am I to do? How can I get to a place where I do not offend in word? Make sure we're not a hindrance to someone. Our words need to be a help to them, not a hindrance. And then they get to do with the word whatever they want to do with it. Whatever they decide to do with it. But I'm to clean my hands. I'm to clear my hands. You remember over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, and you find that Ezekiel goes there, and the Lord told him to go and speak to a certain people, and he went and he sat there 7 days. He didn't have a message for 7 days, so he just sat there and he didn't say anything. And then the Lord gave him a message. He said, if I tell you to go preach to the lost, just in my own words, if I tell you to go speak to the lost, I have a message for the lost. He said, if you don't tell them, he said, then I'm going to require their blood at your hands. He said, but now if you tell them, then you've cleared your hands. He goes on to say, if there's even one that may be a child of God that has went in error, and I tell you to go and correct them. He said, if you go, you've cleared your hands. He said, but now if you don't go, then their blood will be upon your hands. The Lord said, you got to tell people the truth. Whenever I burden your heart, you got to tell them the truth. So what I do, well, you tell them the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Charity never what? Charity never faileth. So Brother Jakey, if I tell somebody the truth, and the motivation behind it is charity, I go and I speak to them, but I speak to them with love. He said, that never fails. Never fails. There's times whenever you have to speak a truth that might hurt someone's feelings. And yet, if it was spoke with charity, it never fails. God's word does not return to him void. Jesus rebuked Peter not to hurt his feelings when he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say that because he was mad at Peter. He didn't say that because Peter was just way out of line. He said that because he wanted to correct him. He said that in a way. He said, well, it may have hurt his feelings. Yeah, but did it hinder him? No, it helped him. The truth in love will help somebody, even if it might hurt their feelings. You know, our words are to never be to show how right we are. Sometimes people that are in church, they go to church and been saved and been a member of church for a long time. If we're not careful, we can kind of forget where we came from. We kind of forget that we used to be lost. We kind of forget we used to be part of the world. And if we're not real careful, we can get lifted up in pride and kind of look down on others. And feel like it's our job to go and tell people what we know. Because we know it. To go and try to show them how right we are and how wrong they are. I'm going to tell you something about that. That's offensive. If my motivation in telling you the truth is to try to show you just how right I am and just how wrong you are, then that's not in the right spirit. But now if I go and I tell you the truth in love, charity never fails. He said, be not many masters. You don't always have to be the teacher. You don't always have to put yourself in that position. Let the Lord lead you. How am I ever going to get to a place where my words are not offensive? Let the Lord lead us. Let the Lord help us. You know, our words are to plant a seed of truth that takes root. That's the whole purpose. You go and Jesus gives us the parable of the sower and the seed, and the sower, he's sowing that seed, and the purpose is so that the seed will simply take root. Whenever I speak, I'm going to speak in a way that those words are going to take root, Brother Mike, and it's going to raise up and be a blessing to someone. Let me tell you something about it, though. We can over-fertilize a root, can't we? We can over-fertilize a seed. We can oversold our words. He said, let you see, your words always be seasoned with salt. We can oversalt our words. Let me be bitter. You know, light is a wonderful thing. It lights up the darkness. It helps people see. But you know, you can take too much light and you can blind somebody. We cannot tame our words, but Christ can. The Holy Spirit can help us tame our words. Without charity, our words become, the Bible says they become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Our words don't even matter if they don't have charity. I want to encourage you tonight, and I know I said I'm trying to be encouraging with it, and that's my goal. That's what I want to do. I want to encourage you, but I want us to stop and consider our words because they are so important. We want to be a blessing. Here at Clear Branch, I know we want to be a blessing to others around us, and you are. I commend you for that. You're a great blessing in this community. But we have to be careful because at the same time, the words that we speak can be an offense. The words we speak can be a hindrance to someone if we're not real careful. And although we might be a blessing to somebody over here, Brother Brian, it might be that we turn around and we're a hindrance to someone over here. The Lord said, don't let that be. They don't ever need to be bitter and sweet come out of the same fountain. You don't let that happen. That can be a great, great hindrance. So I want to close with a thought tonight in Proverbs 9 and verse 8. He says, reprove not a scorner. I'll give you time to turn over there just a minute. Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. God's word can help us tame the tongue and become spiritually mature. And yet there's going to be those that the word of God's going to rub them the wrong way. There's going to be those that it might try to be a blessing and it might hurt their feelings. And yet, the goal, don't be a hindrance to it. If it hurts their feelings, at least let it be seasoned with salt. So they have some drawing power. So that they'll think about it. So that God will use that down the road to prick their heart. We'll spend the next few services studying on our words, and I know we're just getting started tonight, but just kind of give you some food for thought and let you think about it as well. Maybe we can study it together. If you got some questions, you can ask those, and we'll try to get an answer for that as well. We'll ask for something.